You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So, attorneys for the accused shooter, Anderson Lee Aldrich, say in new court filings tonight that the suspect now identifies as non-binary. In a footnote to a motion asserting legal privileges, the public defenders say, quote, Anderson Aldrich is non-binary. They use they, them pronouns, and for the purposes of all formal filings, will be addressed as Mix Aldrich. So, in other words, not Mr. or Ms. Joining me now, CNN political commentator Errol Lewis, also back with me, Al Franken and Joe Walsh. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, that's not anything that we had heard from his background. You know, people have been looking into his background, and I don't know if anybody here, are you guys lawyers? I don't know what to say about that. I mean, that's what he's now saying.
It sounds like they're trying to prepare a defense against a hate crimes charge. That's the least of his problems, legally speaking. But it looks like they're trying to build some kind of sympathy or at least confusion on the question of whether or not this was purely motivated by hate.
And, of course, you have to keep in mind that as far as the leftist media has been concerned, state-controlled media and lib politicians, it was fueled by hate. But the police department has admitted it still does not have a motive. That was a report you were listening to then from CNNN from last night. And still today, I just checked, CNNN acknowledges that police don't have a motive. Oh, you could suspect, but they wanted to rush in and say because the shooting took place at a gay nightclub, it had to be a hate crime. I hate to tell you, because, again, it's a loss of life, and you don't want to mock it and make light of it. But you know they had a shooting in a Walmart today. And let me see. I'm trying to check on the latest number killed in this shooting in Walmart. Chesapeake, 6 dead after this shooting in a Walmart store. And that this was a store employee. And, of course, customers, there's a sign outside that store when you walk in, illegal to carry weapons in here. Well, the employee knew that, and he certainly didn't care about the rules, and he opened fire. So is he a Walmart hater? I mean, is that what you want to do? You'll put everybody into, if you went after a particular person, a particular area, then you must hate that group and those associated? That's all they did, that they rushed to judgment again. It is reminiscent, point by point by point, with Jussie Smollett's story. He tells the story of a hate crime allegedly committed against him, a rope still dangling around his neck when police show up while he's got his sandwich in hand, and he talks about how he was assaulted by two men who claimed this was MAGA country. Remember that story. And the left pushed it like it was not just a story, but a biblical proportion book and a movie to be made. And there were no facts other than his statement. And the police kind of went along to an extent that they were kind of getting orders from kind of go along. And finally, they had to call a halt to it and make charges against him. This guy is obviously responsible for killings in that nightclub. But why would they jump on the hate issue? Because it's narrative to fight against conservatives who are anti-gay, or at least they don't live a gay life. They may not really be anti-gay. Let me clarify that. I'm not anti-gay. I know what the Bible says. Don't tell me that again. I know that. I've had members of my own church have that same discussion. But I'm still not anti-gay. I leave that to God to do the judging. But at the same time, I don't necessarily accept the lifestyle. I don't take part of it. It's not my lifestyle. It's their life. It's their judgment with God, not me. But the leftist media just says, you must be a hater. No, I don't. I don't have to be one at all. So we're going to get into that in more detail. Tristan Justice of the Federalist is going to join us later on this whole issue that suddenly the suspect claiming to be non-binary, and it just ruins the narrative of the left. Also, Fred Lucas is going to join us. He wrote a great piece talking about why are and who are these left-wing donors that are boasting America's youth vote, and I would say buying the youth vote. They're going to be critical coming up. And before we wrap up today, a very delicate subject, and it's a, I hate to do it right ahead of Thanksgiving, but I'd rather do it today than tomorrow. And pedophilia sells, and people are buying it. Now, there's a hate crime. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Just when you thought it was safe to return to pre-pandemic normality, the doomsday groundhog himself popped out of his little hole to report that there will be at least six more weeks of COVID.
The real danger is in the people who have not been vaccinated. So that's where we expect, if we're going to see a problem this winter, it's going to be among those people. So my message and my final message, maybe the final message I give you from this podium, is that please, for your own safety, for that of your family, get your updated COVID-19 shot as soon as you're eligible to protect yourself, your family, and your community.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I stand corrected. I've told you previously that January 6th was going to outlive the cockroach. The cockroach. I stand corrected. Dr. Fake and his pronouncements about COVID will outlive either one of them. So there was he yesterday at the podium. He said, probably my last time, yes, if we have anything to do with it, but giving his farewell speech and a warning to you, you got to be aware of COVID still. Let me take a moment to remind you, we are live streaming as usual. When we're on live, we're at live stream on Rumble. You go to rumble.com, search engine Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. Punch it, you join us in studio. Glad to have you. Hey, bring something to eat or drink, will you? I mean, we're right here on the holiday. Help me out here a little bit. And if you can't do it now, well, then watch later. I see a lot of you. I see numbers, and I constantly see how many are watching, and I see how many come and go because they have other things to do, and then I see those who end up watching at a later time. We appreciate all of you, and I appreciate you listening. And you can also get that subscribed and get it sent direct to you, the same with our podcast of each program, so you don't miss anything. And I always encourage you, Share with others. Be nice. Let them see and hear what they need to be told and hearing. And I thank you for your support of this program. I'll take one moment to tell you there could be some major changes coming to Larry Connors USA. I'm not at liberty to go into full details at this point, but it could be good. It could be devastating for what we're trying to do here. So that's why your support is so vital. All right, let me get back to the subject. That was Laura Ingraham last night talking about Dr. Fake in his final statement saying, hey, you still need to be worried of the real danger will be those unvaccinated this winter. I'm not going to deny that some folks might be more vulnerable. If you're suffering a cold and you get down and you are not feeling well, then, yeah, you're going to be susceptible to any kind of disease. Does that not make sense? Well, of course it does, Larry. Thank you. I did not know you were a scientist. I'm not, but I've lived life for a while, and I think I know that you get a little cold, a little sniffle, and if you don't take care of yourself, it gets worse. That's pretty darn simple. But here's Dr. Fake telling you, I know what's best for you. Actually, he has not told you what's best for you. And let me give you the response of Dr. Scott Atlas. Now, Scott Atlas was referring and giving his view of these ideas that all of these shots are supposed to be preventative. And even remember, the pharmaceuticals have admitted they do not prevent spread of COVID. Let me repeat, they do not prevent the spread. So here's Dr. Scott Atlas.
We know by now the data shows that the vaccines, although they do have pretty good protection for high-risk people and elderly against death, they do not stop the spread of the infection. They do not stop you from getting COVID as the SARS infection. And the risk-benefit ratio for people other than high-risk is very different. You have to decide if it's appropriate to take an experimental drug if you have a low risk of a serious illness, particularly children. In fact, anyone who recommends that children, healthy children, should get the vaccine, an experimental drug injected into them, I think there's a question about medical ethics.
I certainly agree. Now, Dr. Scott Atlas, let me give you a quick background. He's a senior fellow in healthcare policy at the Hoover Institute. Obviously, an MD, has been for some time. And at the same time, he makes clear that, you know, we do have science, but we also keep in mind political science that will sometimes try to interfere with what we're doing. And his last point there. As a society going down the pathway that even if you believe the shot will stop the infection, which is contrary to science, are we going to use children as shields for infections? If we're going to do that, we have a new question about medical ethics, and I would agree. He said this is uncharted territory. You know, in Canada, they're talking about that if you refuse to get a shot, you might have a mental condition. Maybe we need to check you for a mental condition. You may have a bigger issue. That's what they're looking at doing in Canada. Listen, once you learn that you can lock the people down and control them, you do it. Look at China. Zero COVID policy. Zero. You're never going to get to zero. You'd like to. I mean, there's some things we have thought we had eradicated. But now with these third world immigrants coming to our shores, often illegally, not being vetted, much less being properly checked for medical backgrounds and what they might be carrying, we're finding cases of diseases we actually got rid of decades ago, so we thought. But again, Dr. Atlas is saying, you got to look, whether or not you like it, you got to look at the science.
It's frightening to have people in power that don't know what they're talking about, that use fear to sway the public instead of data. You don't often hear, in fact, you may never have heard Dr. Fauci use data. And, you know, this is very frightening. Two-thirds of people in the United States who died from COVID, two-thirds have greater than or equal to 6 comorbidities. Healthy people do not have a significant risk from a serious illness from COVID. That's a fact. That's not opinion. It's been proven the world over.
Now, I will exceed and make sure you're aware that Dr. Atlas is off a little bit there because Dr. Fake has referred to data. Now, how good the data is, it's like that old saying about garbage in, garbage out sometimes, correct? But Dr. Fake has cited general data that unvaccinated individuals are more at risk for hospitalization or death. He said, if you look at that data, they are just profoundly striking of the curves of death and hospitalization of unvaccinated versus vaccinated and boosted. Don't forget the booster. So there's a relatively smaller difference in vaccinated and unboosted versus vaccinated plus boosted. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get boosted, but the real danger is those who have not been vaccinated, especially going into winter. Blah, 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 blah. Same old mantra. And also pushing it on the kids down to age 5 and younger. I think down to 6 months on one of them. It's still an experimental drug. You do know that. It's approved for emergency use. Now, supposedly, and we've had this discussion before, by falling under that category, the pharmaceutical companies are free of liability of lawsuit if something goes wrong, because it's not yet government approved. It's an emergency use. Some are, some aren't. And I say again, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just want you to have the facts and make the decision for you and your family. And if you have children in particular, and I have yet to have a single doctor give me a very clear example, someone who is an expert, if there are experts on COVID, who's an expert as to if these drugs that you are giving on an experimental emergency need, even down to 6 months of age, and you tell a pregnant woman, do not be drinking alcohol, do not be smoking, don't be doing drugs of any type, it might harm the fetus. And yet you're telling these pregnant women, or those who want to get pregnant, it's a good idea to get vaccinated and have this in your system? Does that make sense? It doesn't to me. Maybe it would to you. But Dr. Atlas says, also there's an issue of Dr. Fauci's legacy.
He presided over the biggest failure in public health history over two different presidential administrations. Number two, his policies were implemented, and those policies shifted the burden of this illness from the affluent to the poor and incurred massive harm on our children, psychological damage, long-lasting damage, an obesity crisis. And we really haven't seen the tip of the iceberg on that damage to children. And again, worse on low-income and poor kids. And then thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, his underling, and many of these other people at the CDC and on the talking heads on TV have destroyed the trust in public health. We have a huge challenge as a country to fix what happened in his wake.
Yeah, but that's his legacy. And even Biden, of course, had repeatedly said, hey, if you get vaccinated, you won't need the mask. Well, that proved to be wrong. You get vaccinated and the booster, that proved to be wrong. And in fact, when you had people like Rachel Maddow out there preaching, if you get the vaccine, it stops it. It will not go anywhere. You cannot transmit it. Liar, liar, pants on fire, because you were buying this false science. You were worried what I was going to say, right? So was I. But there's another part of Dr. Fake's legacy here. His not what he's left us with in the tip of the iceberg in our harm to our children and our nation. And there's no doubt. I mean, that's why we have so many coming forward now and say, "Can we have amnesty? Can we have amnesty over COVID? We didn't know. We're just doing the best we could. Remember." Remember the essay in Atlantic Monthly, and so many bought into it? Yeah, let's forgive them. They didn't know. I can understand if you don't know and you're struggling. That we will accept. But when we continue to tell you, or at least we are questioning, and you demonize us simply because we question, no, you're not going to get any amnesty from me. You locked us down. You told us it has to be done this way. Kids have to be masked up. When we told you, every parent knows if children cannot see your lips moving and your facial expressions, it's very confusing to them. Those of you watching on Rumble right now, can you see my expression? Do you get any kind of meaning just by looking at my expression? Yeah, you do, don't you? But here's part of his legacy, Dr. Fake's legacy, one more time here. I'll spend more time on this in a moment, but I've got a piece here written on behalf of the Associated Press by Brandon Morse, titled, Dr. Fauci and his wife are $5 million richer thanks to the pandemic. You see the connection now, don't you? I'm going to spend more time on that in the next segment. But their $5 million, their net worth grew $5 million as hundreds of thousands of U.S. were struggling financially with COVID. And then we have yesterday at his final press conference, he also had a chance to deal with some of the press agents. We're going to deal with that also in the next segment. Because something very interesting happened. We actually saw them put on display what they've been doing anyway, and that is controlling the narrative. And, of course, some reporters have now reached the point, or their bosses have told them, or editors say, you know, we're on the wrong side of the fence. We've got to get in there. We've got to start really pressing for questions and getting some answers. So when Dr. Fake shows up for his final, supposedly final news conference today, you need to be asking some tough questions. He may not want to answer them. He'll try to walk off, but you keep after him. You go after him just like, you know, that they used to go after Trump when he was in office, and they still go after him. Sick him. Well, we're going to pick up with that on the other side of the segment, and here comes to the rescue the White House Press Secretary. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Dr. Fauci, only 13% of...
Hold on one second.
We have a process here. I'm not calling out on people who yell. And you're being disrespectful to your colleagues, and you're being disrespectful to our guests. I will not call on you if you yell. And also, you're taking time off the clock, because Dr. Fauci has to leave in a couple of minutes. I'm done. I'm not getting into a back and forth with you. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Dr. Fauci, only
30
You ask your question. You should allow her to answer.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Jeremy.
Dr. Fauci, on the origin of COVID-19.
It is not your turn. It is not your turn.
You can't read a press briefing. You need to call from people across the room. She has a valid question. She's asked about the origin of COVID.
I hear the question.
And Dr. Fauci is the best person to answer.
I hear your question, but we're not doing this the way you want it. This is the disrespectful.
It is.
I'm done. Simon, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with you right now.
I'm done with you right now. That's a dictator fascist approach, isn't it? That's the White House Press Secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, telling reporters, I'm done. You're going to do it our way. You're not going to do it at all. She probably really loved watching how Jim Acosta attacked Trump and yelling at him on a constant basis. Don't you imagine? But no. Now we have decorum. We're going to do it this way. That's why Biden will sometimes say, okay, I'm going to take some questions. I have a list here, and I can't vary from the list because my staff, I mean, he makes it very clear. They're going to pick on the nicest, softest people in the room. I couldn't begin to tell you who was yelling back and forth there, but from what I gather, one was actually arguing on behalf of the reporter trying to ask a question. So that's a legitimate question. They have some facts. They want to get some answers. They were defending the reporter, not just trying to yell and shout their own question. No one seemed to question or make a big issue about CNN and Jim accosting Acosta when he was in the White House Oval Office coverage. Remember, he got removed. You do know that, of course, when Biden came in, because you can't have the same guy as your White House reporter who is that nasty and abrasive and absolutely assaulting verbally the President of the United States when now you've got President Biden. We're going to be more respectful. Back to Dr. Fake. He has been, of course, before numerous committees. And you remember one, Rand Paul would have him before. And I don't have time to run the bite, so let me run part of the transcript past you. He was asking him at one point, he said, "We've been asking you, and you refuse to answer whether anybody on the vaccine committees gets royalties from the pharmaceutical companies. I asked you last time. What was your response? We don't have to tell you." That's what he's saying Dr. Fake's response was. "We don't have to tell you." He said, "We've demanded them to the Freedom of Information Act." And what have you said? "We're not going to tell you. But I will tell you this. When we get in charge, we're going to change the rules, and you will have to divulge where you get your royalties from what companies, and if anybody in the committee has a conflict of interest, we're going to learn about it. I promise you that." Now, Dr. Fake had always said he was going to leave here in December anyway. But especially that the House is going to be controlled by Republicans who want to impeach him and pretty much lynch him for his past statements and the way he locked the country down. And then there's this question about the money. As I said, an Associated Press reporter says the combined wealth of Dr. Fauci and his wife's net worth grew by $5 million through the COVID-19 pandemic as thousands of U.S. residents struggled financially. One group said, despite becoming the figure of controversy, the system has rewarded Dr. Fauci handsomely. His household net worth skyrocketed during the pandemic at your expense. And keep that in mind. Coming up, an effort to buy the youth vote.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota. For all customers and employees, Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I guess some folks are going to enjoy and begin their holiday a little early, and I understand that. But trying to call one of our guests right now, and it keeps going to the answering device as if I'm out for the holidays. We're trying to resolve that. I think somewhere along the line, as best as we are in this business at supposedly communicating, apparently sometimes we fail. But let me give you a preview of the article, and if we get him, we'll get more details from him. We're still calling. Quentin's in there shaking his head. "You're going to lose your hair like I've lost mine, Quentin." That's exactly how I lost mine, going through this kind of stuff. Fred Lucas is the author with the Daily Signal, belonging to a group associated with the Heritage Foundation. He had a question raised. Who are the left-wing donors boosting America's youth vote? I would have changed that to say, who is buying the youth vote? Because that's really what they're doing. I mean, this administration has been buying votes from the beginning. Oh, you want lower gas prices? We'll dip into our petroleum reserve. We get you lower gas prices just in time for Thanksgiving and just in time of the midterm elections. And then they'll go back up. And, of course, prices are still high, but they're better. And they'll get better. And but then they're going to get bad again. But right before 2024, voila, everything will be better again. You watch. You watch. And this effort to get the loans, college loans, forgiven, $10,000 to $20,000 worth, being held up by the courts now. So President Biden has said, we're going to extend the opportunity to apply, and we're going to extend our efforts to do it. We're not done yet. In other words, they're still trying to buy votes. Well, we just had this midterm, and the youth vote cut decisively, according to some of the, this is a Center for Information Research and Civic Learning. They found that the youth vote cut decisively for Democrats by about 28%. We had this discussion yesterday, remember? We had that discussion as to why so many youth went that way. Because they don't have any obligations. Many of them are still living in the basement, eating Cheetos while sitting in a beanbag and playing a video game. I know not all of them are, but you know there are many that do. All right, we've got Fred online. Fred, were you trying to start your holiday a little early?
No, not at all.
I know.
I was being too youthful.
Hey, if you got a little eggnog, that's fine with me. Just save for me, will you, a little bit later. Fred Lucas of the Daily Signal, glad to have you on board. I was talking about your article titled, Who Are the Left-Wing Donors Boosting America's Youth Vote? I'm going to come back to the title a moment ago because I said I think I could almost rephrase it, who's buying their vote. But for your article, who have you identified who's actually, quote, spending the money to boost the youth vote and why?
Well, there's this organization, the All In Campus Democracy Challenge. They're primarily aiming towards youth on college campuses. And trying to turn them out to vote. They, of course, call themselves nonpartisan. But if you look who's on their board, it is Valerie Jarrett. You remember her.
Oh, yeah.
Tina Chen. She's the former chief of staff for Michelle Obama.
Right.
Cecile Munoz, who was part of the Obama White House. So you got all this Obama alumni on the board of this group, and it's also part of a Civic Nation, which is a left-wing group that has advocated for voting, lowering the voting age to 16 and so forth.
Yeah, the 16, right, yeah, like 18, 19, 20, 21, a lot of 40-year-olds don't know how to vote. They show up uncertain. I mean, they're going to know at 16, though, right?
Right. Yeah, and a big part of this, though, not just the actual groups like this All-In Campus Challenge group, but also if you look at what they're doing, the machinery behind this, and I get into this in the story as well, which is it's data mining, it's data gathering, who to shoot for, who to aim for, and that's sort of this circle. It's an organization at Tufts University. It's of course calls itself nonpartisan, and it doesn't engage in partisan activity itself. I wouldn't say a circle doesn't, but all of its funders are clearly on the left, and advisors' money in there. So that's one of the most.
Well, some of the money in there, like say, don't you say that you've got George Soros in the eBay founder? Have all been involved in that in related organizations. That clearly tells me, yeah, there's a big question mark on what's going on here.
Yeah, that's true. One interesting aspect from Circle, their research shows that the youth vote is not, it has been in recent election cycles, but it's not entirely monolithic. Some cases, it actually has broken for slightly, or it was very close in presidential elections. In some cases, it kind of went towards Trump in 2016. Of course, that's the year he ran against Hillary Clinton, so I don't think she appealed to too many youth.
Right.
But, So much of this is how these left-wing organizations like Civic Nation and others, Rock the Vote and others, are using this research to target the youth that they want to get out and that they want to vote.
Good point.
As opposed to youth voting in general.
Oh, yeah. We don't want those that think. Yeah, we want those that will follow.
Right. I was going to say that might come back to the youth that are on a beanbag playing video games as opposed to the youth that are out there working jobs and might have some family. Not all 18 to 29-year-olds are the same.
No, and nor adults, nor blacks, nor Mexican, nor white, nor men, nor women. But you're right, and that is part of, we all understand when you're running either a political campaign or you got a product to sell, you look for certain demographics and that becomes a target audience. That's all acceptable and understandable. But every time I keep hearing the word nonpartisan, I see where the money is coming in and what the intent, to me, that strikes nonpartisan and throws it right out the window.
It clearly does. It clearly does. And when you look at who is funding this, one of the things that I point out in my book, The Myth of Voter Suppression, is that if you look at the Democratic Party today, it is not much different from the Democratic Party of that it's always been, going back 100 years, when you had things like Tammany Hall and these machines, the Daily Machine and so forth, that were just solely oriented on getting out their voters and targeting their voters. That's something that Democrats just have a 100-year advantage over Republicans on, and Republicans have never really caught up. And this is just one micro aspect of this.
I'm glad you brought up your book, because I did want to mention that going into it. And again, the title, folks, is The Myth of Voter Suppression. The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. That's the other part of that second line I just read. The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. Very briefly explain what that entails.
Well, it's primarily that every time there is a popular election integrity law, such as voter ID, which 80% of Americans support, the left usually tries to smear that as somehow voter suppression. Both President Biden and twice losing gubernatorial candidate out of Georgia, Stacey Abrams, tried to call these laws Jim Crow 2.0,
right.
And tried to bring back a pretty horrible time in America when there really was voter suppression. These laws, which are primarily voter ID, making sure you have accurate voter registration lists, by clearing off the names of dead people or the names of people who have moved out of state. Those type of things are popular with people. The left usually always claims that they're voter suppression and attacks those to, and the clear point is to, the left has generally been better at voter fraud, and ties in with what I said again about Tammany Hall, the Daily Machine,
and controlling the narrative. Yeah, and controlling the narrative.
Yes, controlling the narrative.
Well, Fred, we're up against the clock here. I want to wish you and your family the very blessed and happy Thanksgiving. I'm glad we did get you on. Fred Lucas, Chief News Correspondent, the Investigative Reporting Project for the Daily Signal, and author of The Myth of Voter Suppression. Fred, thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you.
You bet. By the way, not tomorrow. Tomorrow we're taking a day off, but Friday I'm going to have some reports from Thomas Sowell and some of his commentary. You don't want to miss the next segment. Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
Low rider. is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me take a moment to turn your attention to Georgia. Big race, of course, coming up here in December and right after Thanksgiving. And hopefully he's not going to miss a single day. Herschel Walker has got to run hard and fast, and harder and faster than he's ever run. Heisman Trophy winner, put that statue aside, just go full blast. Because he's, of course, got to run against Raphael Warnock to be senator from Georgia in this runoff election. He's just released an ad, Walker has, knocking his Democrat opponent for supporting transgenders invading women's sports. It featured swimmer Riley Gaines, who famously criticized transgender athlete Leah Thomas after competing against him. In the ad, she says, "I'm Riley Gaines, a 12-time NCAA All-American," and went on to talk about her intense training. "For more than a decade, I worked so hard, 4 a.m. practices to be the best, but in my senior year, I'm forced to compete against a biological male." And then Walker appears and said, "That's unfair and wrong." And he's praising her for standing up for what's right. He's hoping that will help add an additional message that those on the left are all about allowing the transgenders to compete and basically throw women under the bus, literally. This may work, I don't know, but something's got to work. He's got to make sure he wins. Oh, and this is a word coming in from the Federal Reserve. Remember, they're supposed to be looking at the housing market as an indicator of how things are going. Well, it's not looking good. The market for new homes did not follow the Fed's attempt to slow down demand. New home sales rose 7.5%. That's far and more in line with the forecast. Not clear why they ran then, except if you look closer, it's very easy to see. Home buyers fear if we don't do it now, it's going to be higher next month. We just had a third historical 3/4-point increase in the Federal Reserve. And if you think they're not going to increase it again, it's going to be great if you are trying to buy a house and you can get it at a good price right now. But if you wait, it's going to go up more. If you're trying to sell the house, you're going to have to reduce the cost of the house so folks can get into it. We're headed for another disaster if we don't put an end to this thing. And I don't see it happening anytime soon. It is a holiday season. I'll tell you now, and I'll remind you again later, we will not be broadcasting live tomorrow, but we will be back Friday. So when you're driving around doing your Black Friday shopping or just driving around seeing maybe what I could have bought or can I get enough gas to get from pump one to pump four, well, then keep us on the air because we'll be here for you. And my boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago, he took off too. He left Chicago, only briefly, to visit family. But he's still hard at work. And I'm thankful for that. So today he sends me this. It's a friend that sent it to him. It's called a media narrative chart for reporting violent crime. Now, this is tongue in cheek. And if anyone's listening and suddenly thinks that I'm saying this and this is all true and factual, get a life. Get a life. Can you not take a little parody? I mean, we're attacking comedy as the last bastion of, you got to have wokeness in comedy. Dave Chappelle has a few words for you I can't use here on the air, but I would echo them if I could. Here's this media narrative chart. If someone is an attacker, but they're a non-white shooter and the victim is white, the narrative will be gun control. If it's a white shooter and the victim is non-white, racism. If it's non-white shooter, a non-white attacker, run a story about the Kardashians. If it's a police officer who's non-white, police brutality. A non-white shooter, but it's a police officer, reaction to brutality. If it's male attacker against a female victim, it's sexism. If it's a female attacking a male, it's reaction to sexism. A female shooter that is a female, obviously, that's a gun control issue. Female against a fraternity, that's banned fraternities. And it gets into religion, non-Muslim, and the attacker's non-Muslim, but the victim's Muslim, well, then it's obviously Islamophobic. If it's an atheist shooter shooting a Christian, gun control again. Muslim against Muslim, bring up the Kardashian story again. A terrorist attacking an artist, there's a need for censorship. An Israeli attacking a terrorist, ban Israel. A terrorist attacking any Jew, ban Israel. It's funny at the same time, while it is a parody, it reflects, unfortunately, what's in the mind of a lot of people right now. President Biden reacting to this latest shooting that took place, calling again for a ban on assault weapons, and a pistol was used. Don't let the facts get in the way of the story. But you do want to hear the next segment. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.